أعوذ بالله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك الحق، مالك الموت، مالك اليوم الدين. الصلاة والسلام على أكملان على خاتم الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وأنصاره وتابعين وتابع التابعين الأجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على دين كله. In the name of Allah, Rahman Rahim, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his blessings upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions radiyallahu ta'ala an ala ajma'in. After that, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to protect our gathering, and make this a gathering that bi-izmillah ta'ala that we can benefit from each other, and make this a gathering whereby the malaika descend upon us and record this night, this day, or this evening as one of our hasanat, and bi-izmillah ta'ala, maybe by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this could be one of those actions that can be the difference on the wazn of our scale on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Bi-izmillah ta'ala. Now, subhanallah, the topic that has been chosen has been Mu'jizat al-Qur'an. The miracles of the Qur'an, or the evidence of the Qur'an. Now before I go into the topic, there's just a few things that I want to mention. Firstly, this topic is usually delivered to non-Muslims. Usually. So I've tried to sort of reconstruct the topic so that we can benefit more, rather than making it as a form of da'wah to non-Muslims. So bi-izmillah ta'ala, I've tried to construct it in a way that we can inshallah take it as information, so it will help us to carry da'wah. And anything that I miss out, bi-izmillah, we can deal with in question and answers, inshallah. But before I start the topic, there's something I want to mention that I heard, and I heard this about 3 or 4 years ago. And I was at a dars, and there was about 3,000 students in this dars. And it was in one of the local universities. And there was one very well-known sheikh, and I'm not going to mention the sheikh because I'm about to dispraise him, so I'm not going to mention his name. But this sheikh, what he said that when Muslims talk about evidence of proof in relation to proving that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal exists, in relation to the existence of Allah, that we should be very careful because it is not clearly evident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And then he went on to say, he said that, and these were his words now, he said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal would not rape the intelligence of mankind by making it clearly evident that he exists. And then he went on to say, and he's talking to students in the university, he said, and remember that those people that come to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist, they are not stupid people. They are your lecturers, they are scientists, they are lawyers, barristers, advocates and judges, and so on and so forth. And he started talking about the academic status of the disbelievers who come to a conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist. And he said that they are not stupid. Wallahi, this is a clear misguidance. A clear misguidance. Because the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, and the sunnah of all of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, is to make it clearly evident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and that He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's clearly evident. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends messengers. And he sends these messengers with miracles. And the reason for these miracles are to prove that what they say is true and is of a clear authority, shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make it clearly evident. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clearly evident. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those people that come to a conclusion other than the Tawheed of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't say that they are stupid. He doesn't say that they are, subhanallah, not of a high caliber. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are worse than animals. Because they come to an arrogant and ignorant conclusion about their creation. So what this sheikh said in front of 3,000 Muslim university students is a clear misguidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again in Surah Rahman, after mentioning the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. How many times are you going to deny the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So how any sheikh can ever say that it is not clearly evident? I believe this sheikh needs to go back to the ABC understanding of Tawheed and the ABC understanding of Islam. This is why this topic is very important for Muslims and non-Muslims. Now even though we're not talking about the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather we're talking about the proof of the Quran, but this is also just as important. Why? Because as Muslims, we don't seem to understand the weight of this book, the Quran. Wallahi, there is nothing. There is no, subhanAllah, literal book. There is no recitation like the Quran. The Quran is the literal word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. When we have the Quran in our hand, we have something that nobody else has. Why? Because it is the word of Allah, and the word of Allah is the sifat of Allah. We are holding the sifat of Allah in our hands and in our hearts. And there is nothing like this. And we should understand the weight of this Quran that we have. We should understand the weight of what we are reciting. Not in its meaning. Leave the meaning to one side. Not in its meaning. Just the essence of the Quran. As a material thing. There is nothing like this that exists anywhere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us. And I don't mean us as in the wide Muslim population. I mean us, the few individuals in this room today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal has favored us. That He has given us a small understanding. Just Surah Fatiha, what we recite in our salah, is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are regurgitating the words of Allah subhanallah. There is nothing like this. We are subhanallah, we are repeating the literal word of Allah. Subhanallah. And if we contemplate just on this concept alone, if we took some contemplation on just this, that what we say is the literal word of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transmitted. This is such a powerful thing. So for us, it is a very important topic. Now when we talk about miracles, or the miracle of the Quran, or miracles in general, we need to understand that there are two different types of miracles. There is a miracle which is subjective and a miracle which is objective. And I'll explain this bi-ismillah ta'ala. Now when we talk about miracles in general, we can speak about the miracles of Musa alayhi salam parting the sea. We can speak about Isa alayhi salam, subhanallah, bringing the dead back to life, healing the leper, making the blind man see. And we can speak about the crown of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can speak about his miracles. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did many miracles. Many, many miracles. He, subhanallah, when Qatada come to him in one battle, and his eye, subhanallah, was hanging out of his socket. His eye was out of his socket. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his eye back into his socket. And Qatada, he says in his own narration, he says, "Ana la arif faraq bayna aynayni." He says, after that day when the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replaced my eye into my socket, he says, I could not tell the difference between both of my eyes. In other words, I didn't know which one come out of his socket, if it was the right one or the left one, because it was back in its same position of working. It wasn't weaker, and subhanAllah, it wasn't hurting. It was perfect. This is a miracle of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can speak about many miracles. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud, when he subhanAllah put his hand upon the rock and he made dua to Allah and water come gushing from his hand, and he fed an army. He fed his army with this water from his hands. We can speak about the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he fed his whole army with a few morsels of food. And we can go on and so forth. When the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Khaybar, when he subhanallah ordered the dry well to run with water, and it ran with water, and to this day that well is running with water, subhanallah. To this day, that same well is running with water. Another well in Medina, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it ran dry. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made wudu with a small amount of water. He subhanAllah took the water in his mouth and spat it back in this bucket. And then he poured the bucket into this dry well. And the well started running and overflowing with water. To this day, that well is still running with water. SubhanAllah. Over 1400 years ago, to this day. And we can go on and on and on speaking about and going through the miracles of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From now up until Fajr, we will not run out. Why? Because the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took every good attribute or every great attribute of all of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was all of their great attributes rolled into one. He had all of their miracles. He healed the blind. He healed the ill. Subhanallah. He did every single miracle that every messenger done. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was all of this rolled into one. And this is why he was the greatest of all the messengers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, all of these miracles that we speak about, when it comes to all of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these miracles are subjective. Why? Because we never saw them. None of us saw the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam put Qatada's eye back in its socket. None of us saw the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam feed the army with a small amount of food. None of us saw the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam make dua over a handful of dates, and they multiplied and quadrupled and so on and so forth till the whole army ate from them. None of us saw this. But yet we believe upon this. And the fact that we believe upon this without seeing it raises us above the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. Because we believe upon the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam without seeing him, without sitting with him, we defend him without knowing him personally. Because of this, this raises us above the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a little bit off the topic, but it's a beautiful hadith, so I'll very quickly narrate it. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting in Medina in the masjid, and he was crying. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was weeping. His blessed tears were rolling down his blessed face onto his blessed beard, and he was saying, "Ya ikhwani, ya ikhwani, oh my brothers, oh my brothers." So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they heard the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they come running. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, we are here." He said, "La, antum laysa ikhwani." He said, "No, you men are not my brothers." You are my companions. He said, I speak about those people that will come after you. Bi-Iznillah Ta'ala, this is us. I speak about those people that will come after you. They will never see me, but they will believe upon me. They will never hear me, but they will act upon what I order them. They will never sit with me, but yet they will follow me. He said, Wallahi, as-salatuhum, that their salah, their dua, will be closer to Allah than yours. Their amal will be closer to Allah than yours. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they heard this, they started weeping. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we wish that we was your brothers. We wish that we was your brothers. We weep when we read the Sahaba. When we read about the Sahaba, is it true? We cry, we say, oh subhanallah, I wish I was the one who sat with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we hear how the Sahaba had an opportunity, subhanAllah, to defend him, had an opportunity to starve with him. Look at these ajeeb things we want to do. We want to starve with him. We want to, subhanAllah, have no clothes like they had no clothes. We want to, subhanAllah, go through all these hardships. When we read about them, we think, subhanAllah, I wish I was with them. And when they heard about us, they cried and said, we wish we was them. So, subhanAllah, this iman that we have, raises us above the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. And I pray to Allah, this is us that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about. Those people who will come after the Sahaba, they will never see the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is iman. Now when we speak about these miracles are subjective. They are subjective to iman. Before you believe upon these miracles, we have iman. The Quran is very different to this. The Qur'an is a miracle which is objective. The Qur'an is a miracle which doesn't, subhanAllah, which doesn't fall back on the fact that you have to believe upon it first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't say, believe in the Qur'an, accept Islam, because we say so. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look around. Make a judgment. Look at the alternation of day and night. Look at, subhanAllah, the mountains. Look at the birds when they migrate. Look around you. Are you going to continue denying me? So the Quran is very much different. The Quran is the only book, subhanAllah, only religious book. Actually, the only book in the world that says, believe upon this book because of its merits itself. See, the Christians, when you speak to the Christians, they say, a faction of them, they say that before you believe in the Bible as the Word of God, you have to accept that Jesus died for your sins. This is a prerequisite of their aqidah. The prerequisite to the aqidah of the Muslims is not this. The prerequisite of the aqidah of the Muslims is yaqeen. Yaqeen, aqeedah. You know the word aqeedah? Comes from the word yaqeen. They both derive from the same word. Yaqeen means conviction. So we believe with conviction. And our conviction comes from the Quran. So subhanAllah, what I'm going to attempt to do is go through some of the miracles of the Quran. And again, some of them are subjective. And some of them are objective. And I'll go through them with dalil bi-iznillah ta'ala. And I will go through and I will explain which ones are subjective and which ones are objective. And bismillah ta'ala, this will benefit us in our iman and benefit us in our da'wah. Now first and foremost, the first thing we have to do is understand what is a miracle. What is a miracle? A miracle is something very specific. You see, because many people, including Muslims, they misunderstand two things. Kirama and mojiza. Kirama is an extraordinary event. That's it. It's an extraordinary event. And there's many, many, many examples for kiramas. A miracle is something very much different to this. A miracle, by definition, is an extraordinary event that defies the law and attribute of nature, or an extra extraordinary event that defies the law and attribute of any matter. And I'll explain to you what I mean. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown in the fire, this was a miracle. Yes, because the fire did not burn him. Not only did it not burn him, he also didn't increase in his temperature. You see, fire has certain attributes. One, it has the attribute to burn. And if the matter that is exposed to fire doesn't burn, it will increase in temperature. This is the law and attribute and nature of fire. Nobody can change this. Nobody can change this. But when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown in the fire, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inform us in the Quran? That anar bi salam, that the fire was a place of peace for him. Tranquility. He wasn't uncomfortable. He didn't freeze. He didn't, subhanAllah, get hot. He didn't start sweating. He was comfortable. This defies the law and the attribute and the nature of fire. Is everybody with me? Okay. So now I will ask you a question. We hear many people speak about miracles today. And I'm going to pick on one faction of people. Now, the faction of people or the claim of miracle that I'm going to pick on is miraculous healing. Now, if somebody's in a wheelchair and they can't walk for whatever reason, but they've got legs, but their legs aren't working, and a man stands over him and says to him, in the name of so-and-so, by the power of so-and-so, I command you, I order you to start walking. And this other man in the wheelchair starts, you know, jumping up and down. And all of a sudden he stands up and he starts walking and says, hallelujah, it's a miracle. Because before he couldn't walk and now he can walk. Is this a miracle? Yes or no? Why is it not a miracle? See, we have to understand what is a miracle. Why is it not a miracle? Alhamdulillah. The law and attribute and nature of man is that we walk. Now if he flew like Superman, without no strings, without anything, then we would have to investigate the matter. We'd have to investigate it. Maybe it's a kirama. Maybe it's a kirama, extraordinary event. That the man broke his legs. You know, his legs aren't working and now his legs are working. But if we got a man and we chopped his legs off, and we said, right, Mr. Pastor or whoever, come now, make dua over this man, blow on his legs, I want to see his legs grow and him start walking. If he did that, I would say, you know what? It's a miracle. I can understand that. Because the law and attribute and nature of men is, when you chop off a limb, it doesn't just grow back. Unassisted, it will not just grow back. This maybe is a miracle because it defies the law and attribute and nature of the healing process. But if a man has a broken arm, and even if you don't put it in a cast, even if he doesn't go to hospital, 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, his arm will heal by itself and it will start working. Is this not true? This is true. This is the law and attribute and nature of healing. Therefore, it's not a miracle. It is not a miracle. We want to deal with miracles. Mu'jizat. Miracles. This is what we want to deal with. An extraordinary event that defies the law and attribute of nature or defies the law and attribute of any matter. That's why the fire is a good example. Like I mentioned. Now let's bismillah ta'ala. Let's look at the Quran and let's see if we can apply this definition to the Quran and let's see if we can make it fit to any of the mu'jizat al-Qur'an, to any of the miracles of the Qur'an. Now, there's some dispute as to exactly in category how many miracles of the Qur'an there is. There's some dispute. Some scholars say 9, some scholars say 10, some scholars say much, much more. I've broke it down to 6, to make it bite-sized and easy. The 6 miracles are, and I'll name them inshallah ta'ala, the miracle of recitation, the scientific miracle, the miracle of legislation, the miracle of the unseen, the miracle of the cleansing of the heart, and the last one is the linguistic miracle. These are the 6 mu'jizat that I have broken it down to, just for us, easier for us to understand. And inshallah we'll go through all of them one by one. The first one, the miracle of recitation. Now the Quran is a form of literacy. No one can deny this. It is a form of literacy. It is a book. And all books, whether it's the Bible, the Quran, you know, Harry Potter, no matter what the book is, these books are read or recited. But you see, the Quran defies the law and attribute of recitation. You see, all recitation has three attributes. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end. All of them, all books have a beginning, a middle, and an end. The Quran defies this. Neither does it have a beginning, neither does it have a middle, neither does it have an end. And I'll explain to you what I mean. We could get a hafiz, we could stand him here now, and we could say to him, Akhri, Iqra al-Quran. We could sit here all day and all night, and he could continuously recite the Quran non-stop, without stopping. He could put an adaf in each place and stop and continuously recite without stopping. You don't have to start at Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim is not the beginning of the Quran. Alif Lam Mim is not the beginning of the Quran because this is not how the Quran was revealed. Alif Lam Mim is the beginning just of the structure of the Quran. The Quran is not confined to this book that we have today. The Quran is confined to the recitation of it. And we do not have to start at Alif Lam Mim. When we read the Quran, when we do Salah, we don't start Alif Lam Mim and end at Qul A'udhu Rabbi Nas. We don't do this. We can start anywhere in the book. It's not like the Bible. The Bible has Genesis, the beginning. In the beginning there was the Word and so on. So this is Genesis. And it ends at the end of time. So it starts with how Allah created the heavens and the earth, and then it ends with how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to destroy the heavens and the earth. And you know at the end of it, it says, the end. That's what it says. The Quran is not like this. The Quran defies any literacy. It defies it. It is not limited to a beginning, neither is it limited to a middle, neither is it limited to an end. But remember I said to you that some of the miracles of the Quran are subjective. This is one of them. This is one of the miracles that are subjective. But nevertheless, we can place a challenge to any other literal text and say, bring us any text that is like this. And subhanAllah, there's no other text like this. And especially, actually there's, forget just religious books. There is no law book like this. There is no religious book like this. There is no literal book of recitation like this in the whole world. So subhanAllah, this is the first one. The second one that I mentioned was the scientific miracle. Now here, subhanAllah, there are just too many examples to cite. But I will go with a few that are very famous, inshallah ta'ala. Now, what happened in about 1952, a group of scientists got together and they tried to prove Muslims wrong. Now for hundreds of years, they have tried to take away our foundation from us. And our foundation is the Quran. But these scientists, they try to come together and prove scientifically that the Quran has scientific flaws, mistakes. And they, subhanAllah, studied the Quran and they come up with a mistake. They found a mistake. Now what was the mistake that they found? In the Quran, in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, He says, verily, it is we, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who showers iron from the heavens so that mankind can benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that it is Allah who showers iron from the heavens so that mankind can benefit. Iron is a mineral, a supplement. You know, subhanAllah, something that our sisters are probably very familiar with. It is something recommended for them to take when they're pregnant. And for brothers who are training, it is a stable part of the brothers who train, a part of their diet. They take iron and mineral and supplements. It is a supplement. Now, Allah says He showers it from the heavens. These scientists, they said, oh, wait, hold up. This is a fundamental mistake in the Quran. Because we do not take iron from the heavens. They said, we take iron from the earth. We dig it out of the ground. We dig it out of the ground and it comes from food, or we dig it out of the ground and we actually extract it directly from the ground and then we benefit from it. So they said, this is a mistake in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not shower from the heavens. What happened, subhanAllah? About 25 years after this, they realized where iron really comes from. Where iron really comes from is meteors that are out of space, out of the orbit, in space. They, subhanAllah, come into the Earth's orbit, disintegrate, land on the ground, then we dig it out and we benefit from it. Over 1400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we send iron from the heavens so that mankind can benefit from. These scientists, they said, okay, we're wrong. Iron does come from the heavens, and then it lands on the ground, and then we take it from the ground. We Muslims, we said, look, all you have to say is, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and there's no problem. Don't repent, unless you're going to embrace Islam. See, repentance is no good, unless you make a U-turn from your mistake. There's no point in repenting if you're going to continue trying to find ways when you've been proven wrong. But anyway, let's continue. Because the topic is not Tawbah. SubhanAllah, I'm running out of time and you know, there's a lot that I wanted to go through. But there's one, subhanAllah, that is beautiful, and I know everybody's heard of this. And we all know about the embryo developing in the mother's womb. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, He describes the six different stages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He breaks it down into six different stages. Now, we all know about Keith Moore, yes? Does everyone heard of Keith Moore? Okay, alhamdulillah, I heard he become Muslim recently. And, you know, bismillah ta'ala, I hope this is true. But something that these kuffar don't know and don't understand and haven't really realized at the moment, or maybe they haven't, they just try to cover it up, is that what Keith Moore did, he wrote a book called Moore's Philosophy. In this book, Moore's Philosophy, what he did, he took all the ayat of the Quran in relation to the development of the embryo in the mother's womb, and he placed them, basically what he done is copy and paste. Copy and paste. Copy and paste. But what he did, he was a little bit sincere. He didn't copy and paste it and say, yes, I'm so clever. He copied and pasted it and put in the footnotes, reference point, Al-Quran, subhanAllah. And this book, Moore's Philosophy, this book, any student who studies biology, they have to study this book. They cannot get a degree in biology without studying this book. So what we say to these kafir, who our sheikh tried to say that they're not stupid and they're not dumb, we say to them, look, you know, you silly people, submit to the Quran. You cannot even become a doctor without the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand that when you study this book, most philosophy, what you're really doing is studying the Quran. You cannot even become your degree in biology. The only thing that gives it any authority is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. You see, this is why even we as Muslims, we don't understand the extent of the Quran, how much it impacts on Western life, on our lives, on the lives of the kuffar. They talk about, subhanAllah, biology, physics. We can go into physics, any aspect of science, subhanAllah, and I could do this all night. But we don't have time. But we say to them, look, this is what you're studying. You're studying the Quran, our book, the book of Allah. Are you going to continue denying the book of Allah when your degree comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal? Subhanallah. Anyway, I could continue with the scientific miracles. There's another one in Surah Rahman, verse 19. And this is very interesting. Because this was another thing that was only, subhanAllah, come to light last, in the middle of last century. And in Surah Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about a hadood, bayna bahrain, that there is a barrier between the two seas. There is a barrier between the two seas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the fresh water and the salt water. And Allah says that there is an invisible barrier. There is a barrier in between these two seas, and they will not mix other than by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kuffar, they realized that there is an invisible barrier in between salt water and fresh water, that you can stand in between this barrier and half of your body will be covered by salt water and the other half by fresh water. And these two waters do not mix. Subhanallah. And again we say to them, فَبِأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Are you going to continue denying the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So subhanallah, I'll move on to the next miracle bismillah ta'ala. The third one that I mentioned is the miracle of legislation. Now is there anybody here studying law? Alhamdulillah, no one's studying law. That's good, it's good. For any law students, they will know, and I, subhanAllah, I've come to know this now because I've been forced to study some aspects of law. Just like many other Muslims in the day and age that we live in, they've been forced to study some aspects of law. But I've come to realize, and this is a fact, that there is no legislation that is derived from one sole book or from one sole article. What I mean is, if you go to study law, whatever type of law it is, whether it's bylaws or whether it's conveyancy law, no matter what law it is, when you go to study law, there is not one main source of reference for the law that we study in contemporary law, as in whether it's Western law or subhanAllah medieval law, doesn't matter what type of legislation it is. But what we find is that legislation itself is derived from volumes and volumes and volumes of books. This is where it's derived from. They won't have one book that deals with inheritance and deals with foreign policy and deals with, subhanAllah, internal policy and deals with economics and deals with, subhanAllah, inheritance law and so on. They don't have this. What they have, and this is all law, they have one volumes and volumes of book on inheritance. Then they have volumes and volumes and volumes of books on subhanAllah, legislative law. Then they have volumes and volumes and volumes of books on subhanallah other aspects of law. I mean, my mind's gone blank. But then subhanallah, if we think about law as in legislation, as in bylaw legislation, as in taxing legislation, they have volumes and volumes and volumes of books that they derive their law from. The Quran defies all of this. The Quran is the Sharia is the only legislative law that takes its asal from one book, the Quran. In other words, if you took the Quran away, the Sharia would collapse. Whereas the Kuffar, they have thousands of books on one aspect of legislation. This defies the law and attributes of modern legislation and medieval legislation, contemporary or classical. This has never existed, even as in Christianity or Judaism. The Jews, they have the Old Testament. But you know, they don't refer to the Old Testament for their legislation. They have volumes and volumes and volumes of other books. Yes, we have Bukhari, we have Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood. But all of this would collapse without the Quran. The Sharia is the only legislation that refers to one sole book. And in this the Quran stands alone. Subhanallah. And subhanallah, if we look to the legislation of Quran, or the way the Quran is compiled, again, it is not compiled like other legislative books. When you study law, you'll have one whole volume just on inheritance. The Quran, in one subhanallah surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're speaking about inheritance. And three or two ayats later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be speaking about the construction of the heavens and the earth. And in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will jump to foreign policy. And there'll be no change. There'll be no change in the subhanallah rhythm or the poetic state or the grammar or the linguistic aspect of it. It will not change. Whereas when you see in any other legislative law, when they talk about abortion, when they speak about abortion, we find that it is a very emotional argument that is constructed. Very emotional argument. But then when they speak about foreign policy, it is a very, subhanallah, intellectual argument constructed. And the way the argument is presented and the vocabulary that is used is very different. But in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will speak about inheritance, He will speak about abortion, He will speak about foreign policy, He will speak about, subhanallah, the construction of the heavens and the earth, He will speak about economics, all in one surah, without no change in the tone of discussion, without no change in the vocabulary, in the structure of the sentence, without no change in anything. And it's all from one source, one book. This, subhanallah, no legislative law can touch this. And wallahi, for anybody who's ever been in court, and I've been in court, you will see volumes of books, volumes, on just on one topic of law. Volumes. But the Quran deals with this, not only subhanallah in the whole book, but from surah to surah, Allah, from verse to verse, from chapter to chapter, Allah will talk about one topic of legislation and move on to another topic of legislation without losing the essence of the topic or of the ayat. Subhanallah, this is, no other legislation comes anywhere close to this. We continue, inshallah, with the fourth one, which is the unseen. Now this, subhanallah, is a very subjective miracle of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he deals with the description of Yawm al-Akhirah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the description of Jannah, Malaika, and so on and so forth. So we don't need to delve into this too much, because we can see that this is clearly a subjective miracle of the Quran. Clearly, because if somebody doesn't believe in Allah, they're not going to believe in Yawm al-Akhirah. But if somebody doesn't believe in Allah, they can never ever deny the scientific aspect of the Quran, or the legislative aspect of Quran, and so on and so forth. Now inshallah, the fifth one is the cleansing of the heart. Now this, again, is another subjective miracle of the Quran. But we see this come to light by many examples, and one that I choose is how Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala become Muslim, and how many other Sahaba become Muslim, and how many Muslims in this day and age, how many non-Muslims embrace Islam. That they hear a few verses of the Quran and it changes their whole outlook upon life. It changes their whole outlook upon life. This the Quran stands alone in as a revelation or as a book. That Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, look, if we really think about how he embraced Islam, in itself is ajib. If we really look at it, here's a man who was leaving his house to kill the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in rage, in anger, with his weapon drawn, with his sword to his side, with his arrow on his back. He's going to kill the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And subhanallah, a few ayat change his whole outlook on life. A few verses of the Quran cleanse his heart and change the way he thinks. Again, we can look at another Sahaba, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, and when he was in Medina, he was going, subhanallah, to deal with Mus'ab ibn Amir. He left his house to go and kill this man. He didn't leave to, subhanallah, go and embrace Islam. He didn't leave to go and listen to what this man had to say. He didn't leave to go and have a constructive debate and discussion. He left to go and kill him. When Mus'ab radiallahu ta'ala recited a few ayat to him, it changed his whole outlook on life. Again, this is a subjective miracle of the Quran. Now the last one is the linguistic miracle. And this, subhanAllah, is the main point of argument that we use against the kuffar. Why? Because in this miracle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal lays down principles that the kafir never disagree with. And he uses this as a form of argument to prove to them that the Quran is the word and clearly the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Now, the linguistic miracle of the Quran is really quite simple. When the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the Quran to the Quraysh, they would claim that this is nothing special about it. Even though behind closed doors, they would marvel. They would, subhanallah, be dumbfounded. They couldn't come to a clear understanding about what the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying and where he got it from. And if not all of them, but the majority of them, even the people that went against the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they was unanimous that the words that he was reciting was not from him. But let's deal with this, inshallah. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the Quran to the Quraysh, and they would reject it. They would reject it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lays down, subhanallah, such a powerful argument in the Quran that no man of intellect can deny, or woman of intellect. Now when they said this is not the book of Allah, there's nothing special, there's nothing miraculous, so what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Quran, he said, okay, in Surah Yunus, Allah said, okay, if you believe this book is not from Allah, you believe this book is not from an authentic source, if you believe this book is not, subhanAllah, miraculous, if you believe this book is not from a higher source than mankind in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, bring a book like it. And for 1400 years, they have never ever claimed to make a book like this. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave it there. And I will build upon the implications of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying are very, very strong. It is not just saying make something like it. To understand this in a more theological way, in a more deeper way, is very important for us. See, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says make a book like it and they didn't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hud says make 10 chapters like it and they didn't. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, He says make one verse like it and they didn't. It doesn't just stop there. This has grave implications. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a qaida that the kafir scientists do not disagree with. This principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses is called a principle of falsification. It's like this. If a scientist says, he brings a theory, a scientist brings any theory, the first thing that a man of understanding or a woman of understanding will say to the scientist is not what is the constraints of your theory? How did you bring about this theory? No. The first thing that we will ask them is how can I prove your theory wrong? This is very, very important. Like for instance, theory of evolution. Darwin, he laid down the same principle of falsification. And we all know this to be the missing link. Now Darwin, as much as we disagree with him, and as much as we say that he is misguided, and as much as we say that we don't come from apes, we respect him in one aspect. That he was not so stupid, even though he is stupid, but he was not so stupid to lay down a principle without proving to the people that this, without showing the people, without showing the masses, that there is a way to prove me wrong. And the way he said that I will only be right. He said it in reverse, but it's the exact same thing. I will only be right in my theory of evolution if we find the missing link. And the missing link in his theory was a half ape, half man, like creature that is living alongside mankind in the same era, in the same time space. In other words, we have to find this half man, half ape, a monkey that has evolved only halfway. So you know, when I was young, there was this program called Stigger the Dump. I don't know if anybody's... This is what it was about. He was the missing link. Now, Stigger the Dump was about a half ape, half man-like creature. And he was the missing link. So Darwin said, for me to be correct, there has to be this half ape, half man-like creature living alongside man in the same time space, in the same era. But other than whatever it was on ITV or BBC, whatever Stigger the Dump was on when I was a young boy, other than TV, have we ever found Stigger the Dump in real life? Have we ever found the missing link? We have not found the missing link. So he proved himself wrong. It's like this, I'll break it down a little bit more, so maybe it's a little bit easier for us to understand. If I was to say that I am the best boxer in the world, if I was to say, you know what, I will knock out the best boxer in my weight in the world, I will knock him out. The first thing people will say to me is, right, let's set up the fight. Actually, the first thing what will probably happen is that some young boy who's been training for the last year would probably come and knock me out in a ring. But that proves me wrong, isn't it? That proves that I'm not the best boxer in the world. There is no, subhanAllah, revelation. There is no legislation. There is no other book, no other belief that claims that it is the only truth. And the way to prove it not true is by proving it wrong. There is no other belief like this. There is no other belief that says, look, here I am. I'm standing here. I'm in the ring.
Come and knock me out. The way you knock the Quran out is very simple. Make a chapter similar to any chapter in the Quran. Wallahi, it has been over 1400 years. How long have we been hearing about fundamentalists, extremists, activists, Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, these people, suicide bombers? How many more times are we going to hear this? We say to them, look, there is a way for you to wipe out all of this. And it's very simple. Knock out the Quran. We put the Quran on a pedestal, on a very high pedestal. But we put it on this pedestal not without evidence. We haven't put it in this high rank without understanding. We haven't put it on this high rank with emotion. No, 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 no. We put it on this high rank by saying to the disbelievers, prove us wrong. You prove us wrong. Make a chapter like it. You want to get rid of Islam? You don't want to wipe out the subhanallah, the ideology of the sharia? You want to wipe out the ideology of the khilafah? You want to wipe out the ideology of the hijab, of the beard, of the niqab? You want to wipe this out? No problem. Make a chapter like the Quran. It is the only belief like this. And we need to understand this, which is the most objective miracle of the Quran, out of all of them. The most objective. Why? Because we're dealing with other people. We're not saying we believe in it. The Holy Ghost come to me. I was asleep at night and I saw the light. We're not saying this. We're saying, look, we have a book that even you can't make a chapter like. You scientist, you theologian, you intellectual, make a chapter like it. And wallahi, if you go to the Arab world, because these Kafir, they argue, but the Quran is in Arabic. Go to the Arab world. There are hundreds of non-Muslim Arabs in the world. Why haven't they made a chapter like it? I asked, wallahi, I asked a Christian Arab when I was studying in Syria. I got in a cab and I saw a little picture of the cross in his cab. So I thought, alhamdulillah, time for me to practice my Arabic and do some da'wah. I got to him, I couldn't call him Akhi, it's very difficult not to say Akhi when you're speaking Arabic. I said, how is it that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And he goes, oh, you know, we believe, he started explaining his belief. You know what I said to him? I didn't have to practice my Arabic, I didn't have to go back to, you know, Kitab al-Asas or the Medina books. I said, Ya Sheikh, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ السَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ قُفُوًا أَحَدْ لَيْسَ كَذَلِكْ. Is this not so? He went quiet. SubhanAllah. I thought I would get something more than this out of him. He never said anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, He doesn't say, do it on your own. He says, bring them all, the jinn. Black magic man, bring the jinn. Scientists, bring your brains, bring your computers. Bring it all. Make a chapter like it. Until they don't beat this, we will say to them, فَبِأَيِّ آلَ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Why are you going to continuously deny the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal? Submit to Allah, submit to the Quran until you prove us wrong. And wallahi, billahi, until you prove us wrong, bi-ismillah ta'ala, we will not let go of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. This is not the only challenge. There's many other challenges in the Quran. Allah says, do you not know that had this been for men, that there would be a clear mistake? He says, bring forward a mistake. Okay, don't make a chapter. Bring us a mistake. You know something, subhanAllah. You know in the Arabic language, there is singular, dual, and jama. Yeah? The word day in Arabic is ayom. Ayom. Day. Yomain, 2 days. Ayam,
plural, three and more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He doesn't even contradict Himself when He uses words. You know how many times the word yawm is mentioned in the Quran? 7 times. Subhanallah, 7 times. You know how many times the word ayyam is mentioned in the Quran? Days? 360. How many days in the lunar calendar? 360. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention the word ayyam 361, 359, no! 360 times. You know the word shahr, month? You know how many times it's mentioned in the Quran? 12. You know, we could go on like this. We could go on. I could go through words and we know, without even studying it, we know how many times it's mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't leave an iota of room for the kuffar. Look, they could say this 361 days. Why did Allah mention it 360 times? There's 8 days in a week. Why did Allah mention it 7 days? They can't even say this. There's 7 days in a week. Allah said ayyam 7 times. Days 360 times. Month 12 times. Come on. The structure of the Quran, subhanallah, is just amazing. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for any mistakes. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the carriers, hamil al-Qur'an, the carriers of the Qur'an bi iznillah ta'ala, the carriers of the da'wah, the carriers of the deen of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the carriers of the sunnah, the carriers of every good attribute of the mu'min and the mu'minat bi iznillah ta'ala. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik wa astaghfirullah wa atubu alayk. La ilaha illallah anta subhanaka inni kuntum min al-zalimin.